Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action. Welcome to the Transalpina Highway in the southern Carpathian Mountains of Romania. The road draped across this mountainside leads to the fourth control point, and race photographer Charlotte Gamu is trekking around trying to capture riders as they pass through the environment.
But is this just a stunning place? Oh, this is a stunning place, so it's really nice if we can capture a cyclist and enjoying himself on this beautiful landscape, whether this is on a descent or on a climb. And I would like on the photo to capture, to be able to capture what they are actually living. That means, obviously seeing the landscape, but also the people who are around and everything that makes this place what it is, that beautiful. We've met a lot of local people, shepherds that was very curious about the race. So they were on the road and seeing what was going on. And there were also a lot of animals. So they were basically in the middle of the road. And to be able to stop the riders on the descent. I'm trying with everything around. I'm trying to build up a photo with all the elements I'm having, like the people, like the animals. So I'm trying to set myself at a position where I can wait someone and having a photo that makes sense. Cyclists, they actually expect that the photographer will be there at some point, and they seem quite happy to see someone from the media team to be there on the road.
You. All right. I'm happy to see our people.
They're happy to see you.
I was shooting Amre during the climb. We could even shoot them through the window.
Oh, that's quite good.
She found it very funny to get photographed during the race. Okay, now we can just keep continue.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if we should try to catch her on the distance because the landscape are much more spectacular, mm-hmm. or if we should go direct to the checkpoint to make sure we will meet her. So I don't know.
Well, let's see.
So
how
now,
we
just first driving and
yeah.
then
drive
figure
first
it
and
out.
Then work the plan out on the way. We find Amrai Kuna at the mountain summit, adjusting her brakes ready for the descent, surrounded by the hustle and bustle of a market that's been set up to capture the passing tourist trade.
She's fixing the brake.
Hey Amrai, nice to see you.
Yeah,
nice
to see you. Oof, alright. Just alright. No.
Looking forward to getting to the control.
So much.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
It's been like one day since I've seen anyone from TCR. I saw one person, but
yeah.
just like standing at a gas station and I was just passing.
And how are you feeling about that? A bit lonely?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
It's getting a bit lonely, yes. But it's okay.
Too much time to think on your own.
Yeah, I don't really think. That's a problem, I think. There's just nothing to think about, and I'm not in the mood to have deep thoughts. And I talk to myself out loud.
Okay.
Especially when I get tired. Yes. Yeah. It's weird. I kind of felt sometimes like I'm not in a race, because you just get lost in wherever you are, and you feel just like a little something somewhere. And then it pops into your mind that there are people in front and in the back, and that you might want to either push or chill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange. Yeah. There have been some people cheering, that was cool.
Yeah, some dot watches.
Yes.
You see them at the starting line, you meet them for the registration. There's some riders you've already met before, and you know a little bit of their history. And then you follow them, even though just on Dot Watcher, you just get some attached, and the emotional part of the race being behind the scene. So yes, of course, and I'm really looking forward to be at the finish to meet them and to hear about their story and what was going on during the race for them, what we have missed.
And I had many dogs last night.
Chasing?
Oh, yes.
Anything scary?
I had the impression that they didn't come so close to bite me. They would always stay like 40 centimeters away, but like running really hard after me. And I'm really scared of dogs.
Has it helped your fear of dogs or made it worse?
It's not making it worse, at least. When I'm going slow, I tend now to just stand still and like shout at them and pretend to throw something at them. It works.
Yeah.
But when I'm going downhill, I just speed up. Yeah. It prevented me a bit from riding the whole night through, or at least longer. Like, I wanted to ride until the morning and then sleep and then get up when it's warm, because I take so much time getting dressed and undressed, so I just wanted to skip that part and just go to sleep and then wake up when it's warm and just wear the short sleeve stuff and then keep on. But no, I was just too scared and too fed up with the... It just goes on the nerves. When there's constantly something running behind you, I can't relax. Mm-hmm. I'm very stressed. And it just made me want to sleep. Okay, I'm gonna go.
You go. Enjoy descending?
I love it.
So you'll be enjoying.
Yes. See you.
See you later.
Good luck. See you in a bit.
Thanks.
Charlotte has spotted an interesting caravan parked up next to the market that she wanted to integrate into a photograph of Amrai. What's this shot we're trying to get?
We found a good angle with Tom because there's this AC/DC / Deep Purple / Pink Floyd caravan, and I'm gonna take a snap of Amrai with this sky behind, and I think they're gonna match together really good. Oh no!
Yeah. Just as the shot was perfectly lined up, a car parked in front of the caravan, ruining the composition. Undeterred, Charlotte rushed over to explain the situation and persuaded them to move.
They're good because when I talk to them, I just put my hand in my heart and...
You ready?
Yes.
She's coming.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah, you got the shot.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is amazing, but I can always profit.
Down in the next valley, with a chilly descent completed, Amrai arrives at control point 4. Woo!
Oof. It's so warm!
Have you seen this side?
I thought it was so cold.
That descent looked pretty fun.
It's a bit too steep for my gusto.
So what position are you in here?
No idea, actually.
19.
Oh.
Is that good?
That's very good. I just keep getting up. I think, like, oh my gosh, the people just eat me up and I have no idea, but I'm eating them.
Nice. So do you remember what position you were in at the last one?
21.
Nice.
And before 27 and before 41.
When people arrive at the control point, this is the moment when they can take some rest, when they can just let everything go, and this is a really good moment for taking some shots of riders. That can be some moments where people go to a room if they need to sleep. So we can sometimes, if they agree, follow them for shooting some intimate moments. Or also, that's what I've done with Amhai. I was asking if I could follow her into the bathroom, and she agreed with that. So I came with her, and she went there for cleaning her legs because she was putting some sunscreen 3 days before, and that was getting thicker and thicker, so she needed to get rid of it. And this is also a really good moment for talking about some more personal topic. So I like those moments when we can share with the writers. This is the behind the scene. This is what no one can really see. And I think everybody is very happy to see what they're not able to actually see. So photographers are the eyes for that. And we can show that to people.
Last one.
Yes.
That's good. Yes, that's very good. And I'm very curious about the parkour. I heard that some people have crashed.
Do you do a lot of gravel riding?
No. I hate it. But in preparation for TCR, I did some. Like when there was a gravel section in my route, I would not change it to train it a bit, but I don't like it. But the good thing, my tire pressure has gone down because I've been riding so much, I guess. So I think it's perfect now. And then I will pump it up tomorrow morning.
How do you feel about walking with your bike?
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable. Also like lifting. Yeah, I'm easy with my bike.
What I like the most is the human perspective. Over the sport perspective, and it's a proper photo reportage. That's what I like, and also the adventure. So that makes traveling, adventure, and human experience everything I like. Mm-hmm. You know about what they have been through, you know about maybe a part of their story. And that makes the whole human experience. And the moment you can share, the moment you share with the riders are quite short. That can be at some control point, or maybe if you meet on the road sometimes. But to my perspective, that creates a very strong link between them and us. Mm. I'm really feeling some friendship. It's like when you travel and you meet people for a couple of days and then they'll be like friends for life. I quite feel the same.
You got something from the bar?
I'm gonna get a lemonade, yes.
I thought you'd be getting a coffee, but...
Oh, good one. No, I bought an energy drink last night because I thought, a friend told me, oh, you really have to do it once at least, just get an energy drink and ride the whole night through. And then I really wanted to, but then I was so awake because of the dogs. I was so scared and like tense. that I didn't need the energy drink, but I also wanted to go to sleep, so
yeah.
Didn't have the chance to use it. Maybe tonight.
So you still got it?
Yes.
An emergency.
Emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
If the parkour is really, really shit, then...
Well, you're not going to sleep now until the finish, are you? Straight through? With your energy drink?
Sure. I'm just going to eat up more people.
I like this thing, this Pac-Man kind of idea.
Although
this...
I did think that maybe it was just people scratching, so I was automatically put forward.
Do you think so?
Could be, yes.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just two places. Thank you. Oh,
is
and I'm
really?
Very smelly. If I'm going to miss the ferry tomorrow, I'm just going to stay somewhere and have a really nice bath. Like, yeah.
You're definitely one of the least smelly riders, if that means anything.
For sure.
It's a pretty good target.
That's a good thing to aim for, isn't it?
Race director Anna Haslock found cap number 214, Will Vowson, up on the mountain road and in some difficulty.
Well, so actually I think it happened a few days ago in Regensburg. Between CP1 and CP2. I had a crash because a guy pulled out in front of me on a scooter and I went straight into him.
Right.
Yeah, I got a T-bone, jobby. And I hit him with the front wheel and kind of went over the handlebars. I was fine. I thought the bike was fine. I've been riding it ever since and... Well, I was just coming down one of these switchbacks and I noticed it was wobbling a lot. Had a look. I think if I'd done one more switchback, I probably would be sprawled on the tarmac. That's what happened. So there's a big old crack in the down tube, it's on the brink of kind of buckling and the frame would basically fold in half with me on top of it. If I continue to ride it, so...
Particularly here.
Yeah, right,
it's
exactly.
Really
with all the braking, you know,
yeah.
As soon as you brake, it's just going to fold.
All the pressures.
Yeah. So the frame, I think, is a write-off. I don't think it's repairable, unfortunately.
No.
It's a nice view. I've just been sitting here trying to figure out, because I was going to call, you know, the comms manager and say, you know, I'm going to have to scratch because my bike's broken. I was just thinking, is there any way that I can not scratch? I can't think of one, to be honest. I'd need a new bike. Seems like a drastic thing to kind of do on the spot, really. For the sake of riding just a little bit more to get down to Burgas. So... It's kind of gradually coming to the conclusion I don't think there's any other way to avoid scratching, really, which is sad. Yeah, pretty gutted.
Yeah.
Really. So close.
Hi, my name is Andrea Wolfer from Timișoara, Romania.
And Gabriel Amza from Timișoara, Romania. We were supposed to race as a pair. It got delayed due to COVID twice, and this time we couldn't start because of injuries. Andrea got smushed by a car in the winter, so we're going to try for next year. This year we're just dot watching.
Yes, but now as I feel more comfortable with my leg, it's a huge, huge motivation to maybe get postponed for next year and for the two of us to get a place as a pair in next year's Transcontinental would be awesome.
Absolutely stunning to see the people already here in Romania at Checkpoint 4. Just in the first week, it's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's an amazing course this year. I think it's crazy.
It's like watching superheroes, really. It's unbelievable. And we've been we've seen three riders for the first three riders today, and it was just amazing to see them.
Seeing just people, like the most dead tired people I've ever seen in my life. just seeing them pass by, and now the weather is lovely here. There's sun, yeah, there's birds chirping. Up there, it's rainy and cloudy and so cold. And just seeing them pass by in that weather almost makes you want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you imagine the headspace they must be in so far into this race, yeah, and so far to go?
And you've been following the race.
So yeah, we have.
Yes, every day, like almost every hour. And now on the on our way here in the car, we were like, oh my God, they're going to get there sooner than we get there with the cars. And it was unbelievable.
The pace is crazy. The pace is incredible. Yes.
It's like a constant interior conflict watching this, but also being so happy about all of them that they don't get injured and they make it in time. And that they are safe. Dealing all the trauma, being hit by a car and having all this healing and all this recovery and so on. But also it's such a huge motivation to see what mental strength can give your body as well as strength. And so it really motivates me.
And since then, we've also been at work creating a local NGO to encourage alternative transportation and make cycling safer in our hometown and in our country here in Romania.
And what's it called?
It's called Pedale. It's a portmanteau of to pedal and ale.
In September last year, a car hit me and smushed my leg.
And that's the moment when it really hit so close to home. We realized the police doesn't care. It will always blame cyclists, more or less. Because it's a lot easier for them. We realize the system does not encourage safety. It does not try to prevent any accident. That we realize that we have a very, very long way to go in culture and in law until we can be safe on the roads here.
Is there anything individual cyclists can do to try and get involved with the kind of stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, get involved, show up to the local meetings, call your local politicians whenever you have the opportunity to pass laws in your favor. Try to get involved in local NGOs. Try and be a part of the community. Build a self-help and mutual aid network. Because when systems are unfair and society only looks to cars as being real people, you really have to watch out for one another. You have to develop a community and you have to create a setting where hurting one of you hurts all of you. None of us are born on bikes. None of us are born in cars. We're born pedestrians, and they should obviously be the most important part of any road plan, any road network. Taking oil out of the ground. This whole car thing is a biological dead end that might actually get us all if we're not careful. So we really have to try and move away from car culture.
That's a call up to all of the Romanian cyclists or that are moved away from Romania and come from time to time to back home, that their presence and activism is needed and important.
Oh, he's in there. Is that Ulrich?
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, that knee's holding up.
Almost 2 days before we saw Amrai on the Transalpina, the front three riders were racing up to the 2,000-metre summit, separated by mere minutes. The media car followed them up the climb, finding first Adam Bielek, then Ulrich Bartholmos, a few switchbacks higher up.
Do you want that shot?
No. Keep going. It would be better.
Is that bad? Should we go ahead of both of them?
Why are you being so slow, Ulrich?
Yeah, because it's Sunday, and Sunday you enjoy... No, fuck, sorry. It's Monday.
Monday. Yesterday.
Yeah, okay. No. Yesterday was fast, but on Monday you go slow and enjoy.
Yeah, it's wonderful up here.
Well, you're giving Christoph a chance.
Yeah, definitely. We met on the bottom of the climb.
Yeah.
Shared the Coke.
Yeah.
And said I will give him a minute. Now he has maybe 10. It's a gift.
How's the knee?
Not yet perfect, but well, I can do load in it, so it will hopefully bring me home.
So a bit of improvement from the last CP.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Nice.
Definitely, it got better and better, not worse.
What have you been doing for that? Painkillers?
No.
No,
just stretching and tape.
Yeah.
And I guess the body gets just used to it if you want him to do so.
Yeah. And are you surprised at how close it is at this stage of the race?
Woo. We are not yet there. So still some 800-900k to go.
Yeah.
So it's a long day ride.
And have you thought about the ferries? Have you got a plan?
Oh yeah, I will take them all three.
All three?
Yeah. I will connect them. You know the Gran Guanche event on the Canaries I did earlier this year. I really enjoyed it, so I thought do it here as well.
That should be a unique strategy.
I will start east and then going west and then going back to have the maximum length of the stretch.
Oh, it's tough, isn't it?
Ah. So glad you feel it as well.
Well, man, right, I'll let you go.
Perfect.
I'm getting out of breath.
So see you later, man.
See you soon, man. Good luck.
Cheers. I speed up now.
Further up again and approaching the summit, we found Christoph Strasser powering up the climb, his face contorted into a grimace by the effort.
How fast can I go? Christoph!
What crazy race is this?
I'm going to try and keep up with you. Is this the most intense race you've been in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, three guys in 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
After 3,000, 500 kilometers or something. Yeah. It's crazy.
Were you expecting it to be this close, this far in?
Never. And I did not expect to be in the lead. And I did also not expect today in the morning when I could close the gap to Ulrich and Adam and overtake them. I thought maybe they will be a bit impressed, but they do not slow down.
Nice.
They keep my wheel, yeah. And it's a real hard battle. Yeah.
You said they were going to have to slow down for you to catch them. Did they slow down, or did you put in a burst?
I don't know. I think everybody is just pushing all he can.
Yeah.
And it's going to be exciting.
Did it force you to change your strategy?
I think there is no strategy anymore, just all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All out. You're going to sleep before the end?
I think I have to. I think everybody has to. Maybe not too much, but a little bit of sleep will be necessary for sure.
Have you thought about the ferries? Are you strategy ready?
I don't feel good about it.
No.
Because it could happen that we are racing and then we have to wait to sit on the same ferry, which would be very bad, but we will see. Maybe one gets the ferry, the other one has to wait. I don't know.
Cool, man. Right, I'll let you go. Catch my breath. Good luck.
As the riders crested the summit, a bank of freezing cloud rolled onto the mountain, reducing visibility to almost zero. After an uncomfortable descent, Adam Bielek arrived at the control point in third place.
Hi guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
How was that descent? Wet?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, not fully, but look, the places.
What's that?
What is that?
Food? I don't know. It doesn't matter. really, it wasn't fun, the descent.
How's it been today riding with those two other guys?
I'm having a really hard time today. Since yesterday, I've got an injury. My Achilles gives me some problems. And I decided to go hard in the morning to see if it holds up, but it didn't. And then I paid for it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Would you say this is the most intense race you've been in?
Oh, man. Absolutely. I mean, this is racing. I mean, we are so close together since the beginning. It's amazing. It's a lot of fun, but on the other side, I mean, you lose a lot when you race like this. You have to sacrifice. And I don't really know if I liked it. But now we're here, so let's push forward. See you guys.
Bye. See you, man. Good luck.
Bye, Adam.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
The front three will be the first of many riders to pass through, and the volunteers manning the control point have a busy few days on their hands.
So my name is Luca Kiri, I am from Hungary, and I'm a volunteer at CP4 for Transcontinental.
Nice, and could you just describe the setting and the hotel where we are?
Oh yes, so we are working in a hotel situated next to a road in the forest, and it's a very nice place to stay, and we are waiting for the riders here to arrive and check them into the system. When you see their faces and hear their stories, you feel like you somehow want to help them and hug them and give them some energy. But yeah, that's all that we can do. We cannot help them the other ways. So the emotional support is the most that we can do for them. My shift finished at 4 o'clock in the morning. And after that, I had 5 hours of sleep. And then I drove Tom up to the parkour with
his
bike.
That's the photographer, right?
Yeah, the photographer. And then I had some energy to do a bit of hiking up on the mountain. And then I came back, had a bit of a nap in a bench next to the stream, the river, behind the hotel. And after that, I gave a lift to Charlotte, the photographer, up to the mountain again during sunset. And she managed to take some nice photos of a rider who was descending. And after that, I gave her a lift to her hotel. So it was an interesting ride during the night. I saw two foxes, an angry dog, and the one TCR rider who got lost and missed the CP. I volunteered for the 7th edition in 3 years ago or so, and it was a very good experience for me, and it made me to feel like that I want to do this again. So that's why I applied for this position. And previously I volunteered for the UCI Road World Championships in Innsbruck and in Yorkshire, but this one is totally different.
Yeah.
And I love this atmosphere a lot more than the pro rides and the pro races. These racers are ordinary or normal people, and anyone can take part in this race, and I like this approach, and I like that they are on the same race, but they have a different perspective, a different story almost on the same route. So that's what makes it interesting for me.
Cap number 223, Daniele Fonelli, is one of two riders on this year's race riding fixed gear bikes. This means a bike with no gears and no free hub to allow a break from pedaling. So why would anyone give themselves such a disadvantage?
It's for me, it's everything. So I start cycling with this bike, and I think that of course gears helps, but you can always do also a TCR with the fixed gear. So there's no matter what kind of bike you use, it matters the mentality of the thing.
Do you think it's very much harder to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very much. Also with the 20 kilogram bike. So it's like double the fatigue.
And do you have any different gear ratios that you can change to?
Yeah, I have two, one for the descent and flats, that is 17 teeth, and the other for the climbing, it's 22.
And what do you have to do to change?
I unscrew the wheel, detach the brake, flip the wheel, and that's all.
And how long does that take?
2 minutes at most. Yeah. At most, yeah.
After going through control point 4, the gravel parkour beckons, and riders are given a safety briefing before climbing up to the start of the section.
We're not expecting you to ride the whole thing. There will be sections you'll need to walk, and so just take it at your own risk. Be careful.
I will.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
I'm very careful. Safety first.
Good. That's what we like
always.
To hear.
Always, yes.
Yeah, well done. Sweet.
I'll take something to drink.
So you're just about to leave the control point 4. Just explain what you're doing.
Switching the gear, placing the one for the climbing.
So you do the climb on that, and then at the top, switch back?
Yes, before the parkour start.
Yeah.
Like this, I have a proper break. Because when I use the climbing gear, I cannot use the brake because it doesn't touch properly the rim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the position of the wheel change.
Right. You've one extra challenge then.
Yeah, just front brake. Yeah. Stoppy, like moto.
I mean, at least you've got brakes.
Yeah.
Ciao.
I don't know who I will see in Burgas, but anyway, thank you so much. I will see you for sure. And thank you so much for being here and working with the TCR
thank
family.
Thank you for coming to see us.
Thanks. See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Gibbs. I am the photographer for Checkpoint 4. I've been riding up each day and basically just following the riders, photographing them. I've been trying to sort of steadily extend how far I go along the parkours, just so that I'm kind of, you know, getting new shots each day. But yeah, it's not easy, but it's incredibly beautiful up there. It's, you know, it's really kind of opened my eyes to this country, and previously it hadn't been on my map at all. And now it really is. So, you know, I'm definitely gonna be coming back. The start of the parkours are quite easy to ride. It's quite, you know, it's rideable. I don't know, on a road bike, but it's relatively rideable, and then it starts getting a bit rougher. I'd say it's very similar to the Alps. You know, Italian Alps, French Alps. I believe it's an old military road, used in the Second World War. In parts, it's kind of full-on mountain bike terrain. I'd be going fairly slowly on a road bike, if riding some of the descents at all. Actually, some people were bombing it to catch ferries, and that didn't go so well because, you know, you gain punches. Most people that I see who are riding it very slowly. I think it would be quite crazy to go fast on that sort of thing, especially if you've got tubes. Some people are walking, but yeah, everybody's taking it easy. Ulrich wasn't particularly chirpy when I saw him. He had, I believe that's where he broke his rim. I might be wrong on that, but I saw him as he had just come over the bars, and he showed me his carbon rim that was broken. So I don't know how he really kind of did the rest of it with that. It's amazing that he managed to get through it all. What I like to get is kind of big, wide landscape things, but as well as close-ups. But I like to kind of get to the places where you don't normally see from the path, right? Because if you're taking loads of photos on the path, that's what everybody's used to seeing. So I try to kind of get up high and scale up cliffs and all the rest of it. I mean, unless you had a full-on 4x4 and you were very good at driving, you wouldn't be able to drive up there. And also to be able to ride along with the riders and get that kind of insight as to what they're going through. And really, yeah, I think that kind of... Well, I hope that will come through in the photos, that when you kind of fully immerse yourself in what's happening as a rider as well, then you can kind of get that insight, that perspective, possibly a little bit better than if you're just driving around in a car.
We're hiking along the gravel parkour in the morning on another photography mission when we find cap number 127, Aidan Alcock, completing the final kilometre after a hard night's riding.
Is everybody else, hi, is everybody else taking this long?
Yeah.
Or longer.
Or long, right.
Some people are walking the whole
thing. Yeah. I mean, I've fallen off twice.
Have you?
Yeah, I had to fix the... Sorry, my leg's shaking. I had to fix the chain, but, you know, I mean, it's all right, it's cold. And you walk the bits that you can't ride. You know, you look at them and you absolutely have to walk the bits that you can't ride.
As a road cyclist then, you spent most of this time on this race on the road. How did you feel about this parkour coming up?
I was nervous about it. You know, for the whole time. But I didn't let it affect me. I mean, what will be, and you can walk the whole thing if you need to. You know, it's been okay, but really, really, really challenging.
Has it been compared to your expectations and your worries about it?
So it was. Worse.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
So I did TCR 3 years ago, and up the Vesna Gobbia in a thunderstorm at night.
Okay.
And I thought, well, you know, if I can do that, I can do anything. But this tops it. So. So I set off from the checkpoint at 2:30. I got 2 hours sleep last night, I think. So what time is it? I have to convert this to Romanian time. It's 9:30. So that's 7 hours. A lot longer.
And so you've done it through the night then?
Yeah, well, I was going to go for the last ferry at Turnu.
Oh, yeah.
But I suspect that that's not going to be possible now. I would have had an extra couple of hours in bed.
Yeah. How much planning have you put into the ferries then, looking forward?
The ferries is the most amount of planning that I've put in to this ride. I've got the choice, and I've got the route to either one, yeah. And I can have a look at the ferry times and see which one. But it was looking like Turnu was going to be the one, because I didn't think I'd get to Zimnisia. So I might try and leg it to Turnu, I might still make, you know, and it's not very far to Zimnissea if I miss it, so. Right.
Good luck getting the ferry.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I think it's a lost cause, but we'll have a go.
You're safe?
Yeah, thank you.
Enjoying your rest on the ferry. A brief rest on the ferry.
20 minutes.
By this stage of the race, riders are spread out amongst all four control points across the continent, and each control point has its own closing time, after which riders arriving there are eliminated from general classification. Every year, this creates a group of riders who are racing from control point to control point, trying to beat the cutoff times. This year, one of these riders is cap number 248, Eric Veneman, who called from his bike after he'd just made the cutoff for control point 3.
Yeah, I don't know how, but I did it somehow.
And
yeah, it had been quite an emotional ride to get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. So talk me through it. Did you think you had a chance of making it? When you kind of set off from control point 2?
Well, yeah, then I thought I had a chance. But 2 days ago, I went into Croatia. And yeah, I was feeling really, really great. And I was having fun flying over the hills. And yeah, nice views and taking pictures. And really enjoying myself. And then I thought, well, let's head into the night and have a couple of hours of sleep. And yeah. Yeah, just continue on pushing. But then I found out, at night, there were 10 dogs chasing me, really barking out loud. And I was so scared on the bike. So, I had to go off. And I took this city I don't know the name of. And I went into found an apartment. And then I thought, well, I'm not going to make it. It's 320 kilometers. And, yeah, with 4,000 meters of elevation. Yeah, but I'm not going to make this. This is impossible. And then I took a shower and I did some calculations. And then I thought, well, if I ride for 15 hours and then I have 2 hours to sleep or I stop, and then maybe I can make it. Yeah, so I was on such a tight schedule yesterday to pull this off. But yeah, somehow, I don't know how, but I found the strength to keep on pushing. And I was flying, absolutely flying.
Was there anything in particular that was a motivation for you to get there? Was there something inspiring you?
Yeah, it's my wife, actually. We are expecting, we just found out she's pregnant. And I was so overwhelmed with emotion, and I don't know. I'm in a very happy place right now, and I'm just riding my bike as fast as I can, and I'm really, really proud of myself, what I achieved so far. And I thought, well, I want to give it one last go and try to do everything I can to be there and make it on time. So I don't know what happened, but I found some strength I didn't know I had it in me.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Well, congratulations on becoming a dad as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you done your calculations now to try and get to control point 4? Is it going to be as tight as control point 3?
I'm afraid so. I took a long night. I didn't set an alarm, and I wanted to really enjoy the Dermatol Mountains.
We're all going to be following your dot very closely now to see how you get on.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, tell me about the mascot. Yeah, how's he getting on?
Yeah, he's called Ron. He's a male mermaid, and he has a red beard.
And is he modeled on yourself?
attitude, just like me. And yeah, he has a really positive attitude to life, towards life. I think, yeah, I think just like me, but sometimes I tend to forget when things get rough, like for instance with the dogs. And then yeah, I just, it's nice to have someone with me who I can talk to, and who is there and who is always positive. It helps, yeah, to get the same energy, yeah, flowing within me again. So it's, yeah, I can't do it without him.
So you're a real team.
Yeah, yeah, we're actually a team, but it's for anyone. Yeah, I will. Yeah, most of all, I'm going to have fun on the bike,
yeah,
and see where it takes me. I feel privileged to ride here, so it's amazing.
In the next episode, we set our sights on the finish line in Burgas. The River Danube stands between the riders and the Black Sea and poses one final hurdle for the riders' tired bodies, bikes, and brains to overcome. Stay up to date with race events as they happen, tune into our TCR daily episodes to get reaction from our team of TCR veterans and the occasional special guest. Don't forget to send in your questions by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is podcast question. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the finish line. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.